Morning, I bring greetings to you in Jesus' precious name. I like the closing phrase of that song. I can't remember what it was now, but my soul forever will praise. Something to that effect. That will be our everlasting goal, will be to praise the Lord. You know, sometimes we hear of people say, ask the question, what will you do in heaven? I think that's going to be our primary thing that we're going to be doing in heaven, is bringing praise to our Maker, to our Savior. I was very blessed to be here this morning, and Brother Eden did a good job of giving an introduction. I'm not sure what else he wants me to tell you about myself. I'm not going to make a habit of talking a lot about myself, but I would just, yes, we do come from Michigan, Central Michigan, and we have six children. God has blessed us with six children that are living. We have one son that is in heaven. That passed away back in 2012. And my wife and my two youngest children are with me this morning. This morning for a message, I'm going to ask a question. But before I do that, one of the songs that we sang this morning was about being an overcomer. Now, I think that would be all of our goal this morning, is to be an overcomer. And I appreciate what Brother Aiden shared this morning in his opening comments. He said, there's life in the blood. You know, none of us sitting here today could be overcomers without the shedding of that blood. We understand that. We all understand that. And then our brother in the opening shared numerous thoughts about loving each other, working together. You know, we are our brother's keeper. Just like the bees, one bee by himself could never produce honey. But by working together, by being a unit, they can bring a tremendous blessing to us, bring honey. Well, in this song that we sang about being an overcomer, it says, verse 2, be an overcomer, he who stands with you is a mighty one who is always true. This is obviously talking about Jesus, talking about God. Well, this morning, my title for my message is, what is truth? What is truth? Many years ago, there was a person who asked that question. What is truth? Who can tell me who that was? Pilate did. Pilate asked the question, what is truth? Let's read that a couple of verses found in John 18 in the context that he asked that question. John chapter 18, verse 33. Says, then Pilate entered into the judgment hall again and called Jesus and said unto him, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of thyself, or did others tell it thee of me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered thee unto me. What hast thou done? Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? And Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. And Pilate said unto him, what is truth? Tremendous, powerful words that Jesus said to him. He said, everyone that is of the truth heareth my voice. Apparently, Pilate was not of truth, or he would have listened to the words of Jesus. We draw that conclusion that Jesus, just imagine the tremendous opportunity Pilate had right there. But he walked, it just says, he went out again unto the Jews. He said, I find no fault in him. But he didn't ask Jesus what the truth really was. I'm convinced that Pilate knew that Jesus was innocent. I have no doubt about that. Matthew 27:18 says, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. He knew there was a plot here. He knew there was something really fishy going on here. But so why didn't he turn him loose? Why didn't he set him free? because of one sentence that the Jews said to him is why I think he didn't set him free. John 19:12, the Jews said, "If thou let this man go, thou art not Caesar's friend." So what was more important? Following the truth of Jesus Christ or being Caesar's friend? He made that choice right then. He decided to let his reputation and his political career take precedence over truth. So what's truth to us today? What's truth to us today? Well, I'm going to tell you a little story to give us a context or an idea of maybe how we think sometimes, or the people, especially the people around us. There's a story told of this large corporation. They were looking for a manager to replace the manager they had currently. They interviewed many men for this job, and they had narrowed it down to 3 men. And they brought these 3 men in, one at a time, in front of the board of directors. They said, "We're going to ask you one question. And how you answer that question will determine whether we hire you or not." They asked the question, "What is 2 + 2? Now, even a 5-year-old today probably could answer that question. The first man thought, "That is a strange question. Must be a trick question," but he was unable to figure out what it was, so he just said 4, and they dismissed him. The next man came in, they asked the same question. And he thought, and he thought, and he said, "Well, it's a number somewhere between 3 and 5. Well, they liked that a lot better, but they still dismissed him. Third man came in, and they asked him the question, and he looked at him, and he said, "What do you want it to be?" They hired him. What do you want it to be? Is that the truth that we're following today? We live in a world today where truth is what you want it to be. Brothers and sisters, that is extremely alarming to me when I think about that that is the world that we are living in today. Truth is what you want it to be, regardless how weird it seems. We live in a world where if you can convince the jury that you are innocent, then you are innocent, whether it's true or not true. We live in a world today where the political leaders, they try to buy their positions. They try to persuade people to believe the way they believe, whether it's truth or not. That is where we find ourselves today. And sadly, even church leaders today, it can be the same thing. One of the things that discourages me when I reach out to, our church is in a town, a city with a lot of low-income people. We have a lot of people that come searching for truth. And when we present them the truth, sometimes it's very difficult. Maybe there's a divorce situation. Maybe there's other things that they have to give up. What saddens me over and over again is when the road gets hard, they look for someone to help them find a different answer to the questions they're looking for that's not as hard. And sadly, there are church leaders in our town today that will help them deal with their problems without truth. And that is so sad, because there's no solution outside of Jesus Christ and the truth He wants to present to us. Turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 3 to get a little picture of the times we are living in today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting in verse 1. This is Paul writing to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 3. "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For this sort are they which creep into the houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth." Does that describe the nation or the people around us? Can you identify with that? And you know, sadly, even in our churches today, there's so many people that are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of truth. To me, that is so sad. So sad. And then we go on in verse 8. It talks about, now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds reprobate concerning the faith. There's even people who are resisting the truth. They're pushing it away. They're pushing it back. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be made manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. But now he's talking to Timothy. But let's say he's talking to the church of Jesus Christ today. He's saying, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, the manner of my life, the purpose, the faith, the long-suffering, the charity, and the patience. Persecutions and afflictions which came unto me at Antioch, at Iconium, and at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, today when we look out over the landscape of America, we do not need to be discouraged. We can trust in the God that Paul trusted in. We can trust in that power that's available to us to be overcomers, to know what truth is. You know, I know we are living in perilous times, but we have an almighty God, a God who wants to give us that power to overcome. But I ask the question again, what is truth? You know, the truth is that truth will always be truth, regardless of a lack of understanding, disbelief, or ignorance. You know, for example, the world does not become flat just because I tell you that it's flat. Or that you read in a book that it's flat. Or 100 people tell you it's flat. Or you look out the window, if you had a window here, and you see in this area of burn that it's very flat. Okay? Very flat. That does not mean that the world is flat. The truth is that the world is round. Okay? So, to me, it is so important that we understand that concept, that truth is truth, whether we ignore it, whether we resist it, whether we walk away from it, truth will always be truth. I'd like to look at a number of points about truth, and then I would like to make it even more practical. I'd like to kind of lay the foundation of truth, and then in practical areas, what does it mean for us to be living in truth? Well, first of all, point number one is know the truth. Obviously, if we're going to live and experience truth, we must know it. And first of all, we must recognize the fact that the Bible is the inspired Word of God. This is the Word of God. This is the Word that God sent to us. It's about the past, present, and future. Well, that's what God's Word is. From everlasting. Last Sunday, I preached a message about eternity. And often when we think of eternity, we think of an eternity future. But there was an eternity past. This Word of God talks about the past, the present, and the future. Not too many books do that. But you know, history teaches us that any time people have questioned the Word of God, or they have refused to obey it, they have always apostatized. You cannot walk away from this truth and remain faithful. It is impossible. This is the ultimate source of truth. So if we reject and disobey this word, we are rejecting and disobeying God. The reason I can say that with such fervor is in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, it says, all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. this Word of God will thoroughly furnish every one of your needs. It has the answers for all the issues in life. Do we believe that? It does. But we need to believe that. And we need to tell us that over and over again, that the Word of God is true. The question to us today is, are you true to the Word of God? If we want to remain faithful today, we must know the Word of God. It is truth for man today. Point number two is receive the truth. There's Bible scholars that know this book better than I do. They have a verse that comes to their mind instantly. They say, yes, this first chapter, this verse, they know the Bible better than I do. But have they received the truth? How do we receive the truth? How do we receive it? Turn with me to John chapter 16. Jesus' words here tell us how to receive the truth. John chapter 16, starting in verse 7. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will shew you the things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and he will shew it unto you. I'd like to draw our minds to verse 3 and focus on that. It says, when the Spirit of truth is come, he will guide you into all truth. It says, the Spirit will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So I get this picture of the Holy Spirit is a messenger from God who speaks to our hearts. He's speaking into us, and he shows us, he guides us, he helps us to focus on what God wants us to know of his truth. You know, God does not want us to be confused and unsure on what to believe. But you know, there's probably never been a time in the world, in the history of man, where there seems to be almost be an unlimited amount of information at our fingertips. But you know what? I don't know if there's ever been a time when there are so many ignorant and confused people. Why? Why? You have all this information. You know, because we have way too much information and we don't know what to believe, and we are so busy that we do not take the time to let the Holy Spirit teach us what is truth. You know, I think there's so many times when the Holy Spirit wants to get our attention. He wants to speak to us. He wants to show us. But we're so busy looking for it elsewhere. We're so busy doing things that because the Holy Spirit is not pushy in that sense. He wants us to stop and listen and pay attention, and then the Holy Spirit will speak to us. But if we are busy looking things up on the internet, or we're busy looking through many books, all of those might have their place. But how about just stopping and opening the Word of God and say, God, speak to me. Reveal your truth to me through your Spirit. We need to let go of our preconceived ideas and let the Holy Spirit have His way in our lives. You know, so many of us, there's probably many, many different backgrounds here this morning. We have some preconceived ideas. And some of those aren't all bad. But we need to be willing to let those go sometimes and let the Spirit talk to us and let it show us, guide us into all truth. You know, sometimes I wonder, how valuable is truth to us? Because I think that will determine how desperately we will look for it. The things that are of much value to us, we search out, we look for. Many of our forefathers gave their lives for the sake of truth. That's a fact. There's many martyrs that have given their lives for the sake of truth. Would you? Would you give your life for the sake of truth? Proverbs 23:23 says this, "Buy the truth and sell it not. Also wisdom and instruction and understanding." There's a quote that says, "We must live and die for truth, or our children may have to do without truth." That's pretty true, isn't it? If we are not living and dying for truth, our children may very well have to do without truth. Now, obviously, even if we're not faithful, our children have an opportunity to be faithful. But so often, if we deviate from truth, they might have to do without truth. Which brings me to this point number three, and that is teach the truth. So we've looked at, we need to know the truth, we need to receive the truth, and now we need to teach the truth. John, 3 John 1:4 says, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." And any parent here this morning, that's our desire. We want our children to walk in truth. And we are overjoyed when they make that comment or that choice to walk in truth. I have a son at home. He's 15 years old. And last year, about exactly this time, he was facing open heart surgery. The doctor says we've got 6 months to get this surgery accomplished or he might not be living. It was a huge deal. He would not be living today if we wouldn't have had that surgery. And I'm one of these people who does not feel that we should pressure our children into being converted. We teach them. We walk with them. But I let the Holy Spirit help them. So I was praying. My wife was praying. And we really wanted our son to make the right decision because it was life or death, literally. And about 2 weeks before his surgery, it was probably more like 4 weeks, he came to me and said, "Dad," he said, "I want to get right with the Lord." He said, "I want to be ready to meet my Lord." And he gave his heart to the Lord. Tremendous, the joy that you can experience when your children make those choices. But how do you plan to accomplish getting your children to walk in truth? I raised the question today, when your children ask you questions, where do you turn to for answers? Is the Word of God where you turn to? Are verses of God's Word, are those the first things that come to your mind? How do you answer their questions? You know, sometimes we're busy and children ask us questions and we kind of just push them off. But those are teaching opportunities that we dare not neglect. Because when our children are facing difficult decisions, they need to be shown the Word of God to help them make those decisions. You know, we are surrounded with so much information to help us make decisions. But is it truth? Is that what we're teaching our children? Is it truth? Sometimes I wonder if we don't depend too much on our Anabaptist heritage or providing a good environment for our children. Both of those are good things. But unless we are teaching our children truth, a good environment is not enough. That's great, but it's not good enough. We need to teach our children truth so that they can make the right choices in life. And every day is a teaching opportunity. Deuteronomy 6, verse 6 and 7 says, "And these words which I command you this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. And thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." There's not much of a break in teaching, is there? When we sit, when you walk, when you talk, when you're going down the road, there's so many teaching opportunities. But are we taking them? You know, if we want the next generation to be faithful, we must be diligent in teaching them. You know, sometimes I fear this generation of my generation, you might say, is so focused on having relationships with their children, which is a good thing, that they forget to teach them all the truth. There's nothing wrong with having relationships. We need to have relationships with our children, but we also need to be teaching them the truth, equipping them for the challenges that they will face in this world, because this world is not going to get better. I can promise you that right now. It's going to get worse. It says so in our reading in 2 Timothy, that it will wax worse and worse. Okay, we've now looked at 3 points. Know the truth, receive the truth, and teach the truth. What are we missing? Can anyone tell me what we're missing? What should the next point be? Live the truth, absolutely. Because, you know, there are many people who know the truth, and they may even have received the truth. And they may even be teaching the truth. They may be saying the right things. The Pharisees said the right things. I think they actually taught their children, but they were not living the truth. And so we must be living the truth. 3 John 1:3 says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth." The question that I raised this morning, I don't know most of you, but if I had spent some time with you brethren, with your neighbors, with your customers at work, with your children, what would they tell me? How would they tell me that your walk is? That's something that I think all of us need to stop and think. Where's our walk? John 3:20-21 says, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be manifest, that they are wrought in God." Now, do you love the light? Are you walking and living in truth? Because if you are, you have nothing to hide. You know, that is so precious to me. If we are truly walking in truth, we will have nothing to hide. I'd like to look at some practical aspects and areas to live the truth, to live it out. First of all, I'd like to me, living the truth is being willing to do the right thing regardless of the cost. To me, that's a man of integrity. A man of integrity will do the right thing regardless of the cost. That's challenging at times. That is really challenging. I find in the business world today, there are less and less people who are willing to take responsibilities for their mistakes and to take care of them. Right now, I'm in the process of building a building, and there was two mistakes. The engineer made a mistake, and the building company made a mistake. Both admitted to making the mistake, but neither one to this day is willing to do anything about it. So men of integrity, truly living in truth, will do something about it. Job was a tremendous man of integrity. There's 4 different places that we read in Job that it says that he was a man of integrity. Job 2:3, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God, escheweth evil, and still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Job 2:9, "Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thy integrity? Curse God and die." Job 27:5, "God forbid that I should justify you till I die. I will not remove mine integrity from me." And the last one is, "Let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." Job, he's one of my heroes. Tremendous man of God. Remember how we opened up in the introduction talking about Pilate? He was just the opposite. No, he was not a man of integrity. He did not make the right choice. He was not willing to do whatever it costs to do the right thing. Because it probably would have cost his political career, and he was not willing to do that. What about us? Are we men of integrity today? What are we willing to sacrifice for truth? What are we willing to give up? I'd like to look at 4 different aspects in the church, in the home, in our youth, and in our businesses. In that order. You know, in the church, in the body of believers, are we willing to take a stand for truth, even when it is not popular, or it might cause us to be rejected? What if the majority of the church here today is willing to compromise truth? Will you be man enough to not buckle? But I want to raise one caution. Just being stubborn and insisting on doing it your way doesn't mean it's truth necessarily. So you have to be careful. Sometimes our own ideas and our own way of doing it, we get on this little stubborn road and we don't want to give up. There is something about surrendering. I am talking about life or death matters. Clear word of God that when we are faced with that choice, that we say, I will not move. I will stand. I'm a man of integrity. I will not give up. I will defend the truth. Are our roots deep enough to do that? Because, you know, compromise comes in little things first. So many times, we're not faced with the really big things. I know all of us today, there's things that if we were asked if we're willing to compromise on them, we'd say, absolutely not. We'd stand on that all day long. But, you know, compromise comes in little ways, and then when the big things come, sometimes we make the wrong choice. Are we willing to live out the gospel completely unashamed? Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 4 for a beautiful picture of a church that was willing to live the truth. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. You know, the church of Jesus Christ today should be a big mirror. We are reflecting Jesus Christ. And if that's what we're doing, if we're reflecting Jesus Christ, we will know when to stand for truth. We will know what God wants because we're reflecting Him. His Holy Spirit is within us. It is guiding us. It is directing us. And that is God's desire for all of us, to be that mirror, reflecting Jesus Christ to all those around us. You know, having a body of believers that is living the truth and lovingly working together is the most beautiful picture to show the world what the gospel of Jesus Christ really is. I can't think of a better way. You know, when the family unit is working together in a family, that's a wonderful picture as well. But when a body of believers is truly living the truth and working together in love, tremendous power there. Tremendous power to share the gospel with that. In the home, you know, what are you willing to do in your homes for truth? Are you willing to do whatever it takes to teach and train your children, to teach the values that are important in your homes? You know, what if others don't think it's important? You know, our children come home and say, everybody else is doing this. So are you going to change just because of that? No, let's continue to teach the truth in our homes regardless of what others do. Are you going to wait for the church to take a stand on something before you do? If you read the Word of God and you're convicted to change something in your life, don't wait for the church to take a stand on it. Teach your children that we want to do this because we love the Lord Jesus, because we see a benefit in that. But sometimes I wonder, what's a value system that we are using to make our decisions? All of us, think back over last week, last month, or last year. When you were faced with decisions, what was the value system you used to make that decision? Really, really think about that. So many times, we're just bombarded by the world's value system. And we forget that God has a completely different value system. And we need to teach and train our children to understand God's value system. What truth did you use to make those decisions? Do Do you look around and see what others are doing, how they're making their decisions? Or do you do the right thing based on the Word of God? 2 Corinthians 10:12, "For we dare not make ourselves of a number or compare ourselves with others that commend themselves, but they measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves are not wise." There's not wisdom in looking around and saying, "Well, he did it, she's going to do it." You know, the truth is that when we stand before God, we are accountable and responsible for the choices that I have made, not what my neighbor made. In our youth, you know, when do men become men of integrity? Or when does a woman become virtuous? After we are married, right? Is that when it starts? No, that's not when it starts. You know, it starts right now. Young people, I have a tremendous burden for the young people of this generation. When you walk down the streets in your local town or in the city, and you see young teenagers walking, what do you see on the expression of their faces? Really think about that for a little bit. Often it's hopelessness. It's just, it's an emptiness, a tremendous emptiness there. The world is full of emptiness. Why? Why? We have, like I said, we have so much information. You can get an education today like never before. But there's so much emptiness because they have not found the truth. They have not found something that is solid. Remember what I said? Truth is what you want it to be. We live in a time when you're not even sure what your gender is. How does God look at that? It's horrible. How will a teenager be able to make the right choices if he doesn't even know that? He doesn't even have that to stand on. Young people, today is a day to build a foundation. That could be a message all of itself, and I don't plan to make that a message, but I would like to lay this out to you that today, in your teenage years, as your parents are teaching you, you are laying a foundation for the future. And when I go to build a building, there's a lot of time and thought that goes into that foundation. The building I just talked about briefly, it's 100 feet wide, a clear span, steel frame building. There was a lot of thought. There was engineering that went into those pillars. Why? Because that building needs to stand. It needs to stand the test of time. And you know, the taller you go with a building or the wider you go with your clear span, the bigger your foundation needs to be. So I'm encouraging you young people, make your foundation wide. Make it deep. Make it solid. Because then you can build and you can keep building. You know, when we see people who make a total shipwreck of their life, normally you go back and you find that that foundation was not built properly. They did not have the right thought pattern. They were not taught the right things, or they refused to believe those things. They did not have convictions. So when the test of time came, it crumbled because the foundation wasn't wide. It wasn't deep. So I can't overemphasize that fact. Build your foundation wide and deep so that you can build up and not have... Because once the building starts to lean, it's really hard to go back and fix that foundation. Really difficult. So we need to... But the grace of God is stronger than that. In all illustrations, you can only take them to a point. But if you find right now that your life is starting to crumble, go back and look at your foundation and do the work that needs to be done. Youth, are you willing to do the right thing regardless of the cost? What about peer pressure? What will your friends think? You know what I tell my young people? A better question is, what does God think? How does He view my choices? That's really what's important. But right now, in the here and the now, sometimes it's so easy to worry about what your friends are going to think. But remember, what does God think? Ecclesiastes 11, 9 and 10. "Rejoice, O young man, thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity." We don't need to fear the fact that God is going to bring us into judgment if we are living for Him today. If we're living righteously, we don't need to fear that judgment. I'm tremendously blessed When I see young people in the prime of life joyfully serving the Lord with a pure heart, when you see a young person with peace in their heart, the expression on their face is so different from what you see on the streets and the cities around us. Young people, I just encourage you, seek the truth. Live it out. In our business life, look at that. Are we living the truth in our business life? Like I said a couple minutes ago, are we willing to do the right thing in our business regardless of the cost? Or is living the truth only for home and church life? Do you think Job was a man of integrity in his business? When he sold camels or cows or whatever he did with his animals, do you think he was a man of integrity? I know he was. I'm convinced he was. Are we those kind of men? Years ago, when I was a young man, I worked for a businessman who was a tremendous role model to me. He had a lot of customers, and I saw numerous times customers that came into his office that were upset. He had a window shop. Maybe the window was the wrong size or whatever. But I never, ever saw someone leave his office upset. You know, one of the things he used, I still use it today. He said, "What will it take to make this right? What will it take?" And I tell you, that man would have done what it took. He said, "Will it take $100? $500? Shall I come make you new windows? Can I come get the old windows? What will it take?" Brothers, if we do that, if we have that attitude, what will it take and be willing to do that? God will not only bless your business, but God will... That's a tremendous witness to the world around us, because there's so few godly men of integrity in business today. So few. You know, who do we admire as a good businessman? The one who succeeds tremendously, or the one who is doing what I just described? Who's willing to take a loss for the sake of the kingdom? You know, we teach our children the golden rule. Do we practice that in our businesses? Do we really do that? Do we treat our customers the way we would want to be treated? Because when I go to a place of business and they messed up my order, I want them to make it right, whatever the cost is, right? Boy, am I willing to do that. I challenge you with that. And one more point here that I would like to look at, and that is in witnessing for Christ. I left it here for the last because if we are not living the truth in our churches, in our homes, in our business life, we have no business witnessing for Christ, because we're not going to be able to be successful. So just a few thoughts on witnessing for Christ. Now, if we know the truth, we will be sharing it with others. If we have godly homes, churches, and businesses, we have a tremendous opportunity to take it one step further. We must speak a word for Jesus. We need to be His ambassador. Just like I said, we need to be a great big mirror reflecting Christ to others. We must be the hands and feet of Jesus. You know, one of the things that stood out to people in Jesus' ministry, and because He spoke with authority, He knew the truth. He lived the truth. He spoke the truth. Matthew 7:28-29 says, "It came to pass when Jesus ended these things, the people were astonished at His doctrine, for He taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." Stark contrast. Remember what I said about the scribes and Pharisees? They knew the truth. They even tried to teach the truth, but they were not living the truth. If we are living the truth, we have a tremendous opportunity to witness to others. I would like to tell you a real life story to really bring this point home to us. I'm involved in mission work in Bangladesh. In this country of Bangladesh, there's many, many, many people. 92% of the people are Muslim. There's 3,000 people per square mile. Tremendously populated country. And I don't have time to tell you what the Holy Spirit is doing in that country, but it's a tremendous work is going on there. Not us. It's the Holy Spirit that is working. But I will give you an example. I was there last summer. We had a baptism service. We were baptizing a family, a husband and wife and their two daughters. And we asked him, how did you come to know Jesus? And this is the story he told me. He said, I'm a man, very poor man. And he said, for 3 years, I had this disease. They thought it was leprosy. He had these huge open sores all over his body, terrible, painful sores. And they would not heal up. They took him to different doctors. They could not figure out what was wrong with him. And he said, the brothers of that local body of believers, followers of Jesus Christ, he said, they came to my house. They brought food to me when I couldn't work. He said, they washed my sores. They bandaged my sores. And they talked to me about Jesus. He said, I want to get to know that Jesus that would motivate these men to do that. He said, my Muslim friends didn't do that. He said, these men showed me Jesus in real life. You know what? We don't have to go to Bangladesh to do that. You can do that wherever you are. And he said, I want to get to know this Jesus. And the other thing that's interesting is they prayed with him. They prayed for healing. And he went to a doctor who discovered what actually was wrong with him, and he was healed. Now, I'm sure the doctor played a part in it, but I want to believe that Jesus healed him. And he was, the expression on his face, the testimony in his life, was, I want to know this Jesus that they were showing me. They showed him Jesus. Tremendous. So I challenge you to do that. In conclusion, what is truth? How do we get truth? No, read your Bible. Be open to the Holy Spirit to guide you. Let God speak to you. The truth is teaching our children the Word of God. It is showing them how to live it. That's how we gain convictions. That's how we lay our foundation. That's how we live victorious lives, is by living out that truth. We need to know the truth. We need to receive the truth. We need to teach the truth. And with God's help, live the truth. Brothers and sisters, live it out. Our world today desperately needs men and women who are embracing the truth and are living the truth. Jesus said these precious words, if you continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You know, true freedom is not doing what I want to do. True freedom is doing what God wants me to do. Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and be free? If you do, buy the truth and sell it not. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we pause in your presence this morning. Thank you, Jesus, for being in our midst. Thank you for your written word. Thank you for the truth that we can cling to, the truth that we can lay a foundation upon. We can know that it is sure, and it standeth for sure since everlasting to everlasting. And what your word says, we have full confidence will come to pass. Father, we pray that you will bless this congregation. You will bless them with a fervor and a desire to live the truth, to know the truth, and to teach their children of the truth. And as they go about their busy lives, that they can show others around them the truth, that they can be willing to live out the truth regardless of the cost. Because the reward, it will be great. The reward in heaven will be tremendous for those who are willing to truly live the truth. Father, we need your help. We need your guiding Holy Spirit to accomplish that in our lives. We just pray that you will bless each and everyone here today. Give them a desire to do this. And continue to help us to be faithful until you call us home. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.